On Shabbos we covered many of the dinim of Purim, and we covered certain parts of the Megillah, so we'll be mashlim what we didn't do on Shabbos. Okay. Megillah says there is a machlokes in the Gemara, Tanoim and Amoraim for many generations, whether it's part of the Tanakh or not. And after many years of dispute, the Psak HaMekubal was finally accepted that it is part of Tanakh. When they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, they wrote up that they only found 23 Svarim. They didn't have a Megillah Sester. And the archaeologists weren't sure why. Is it because that community followed the opinion that Megillah Sester is not part of the Tanakh, or that someone had borrowed it and didn't give it back to the library? But we pass on the halacha that it is part of the Tanakh. The Pasuk speaks about Shushan and Shushan Habira. So they point out that it, and the Gemara talks about Achashverosh, that Mordechai crossed over the river. Apparently, Shushan is a big city, and Shushan Habira is part of the city, Shushan. That's where the government offices are, and that part of the, on that side of the river. One side of the river, the government offices are. The Jewish community was on the other side of the river. They didn't live in Washington, D.C., they lived in the other part of Shushan. So that's the beginning of the Shushan Habira. The Pasuk says that when Kitov Lev HaMelech Bayayim, when Achashverosh was good and drunk, he wanted his wife Vashti to come, and she refused to come. So he raised the issue of Yom HaMelech LaChachamim Yodehu Itim. So the Gemara Megillah says Yodehu Itim means the members of the Sanhedrin, they're the ones that decide when should be Rosh Chodesh and when should be Hashana Mu'uberes. So he asked the Rabbonim who were in Golus there what they think, what should he do. So the Gemara says, they said, since the Beis HaMikdash is Chorev, we can't be Dan Din in the Fashos. That's Taka the Din. After the Churban Beis HaMikdash, they can't be Dan Din in the Fashos. So they eased the way out of it, because the Gemara said they were afraid whatever they're going to say, they're going to be in big trouble. They're going to say they should kill her. So after a week, he's going to realize, what did they do? They told me to kill my wife. And if they're not going to say they should kill her, so they're more than malchus now. So they eased the way out. They said we can't. That was a teretz though. You can't be dandy in the fashas for Jewish people. The Nochrim, the Pashtus is, the simple reading of the Gemara is, that there is no such din. The Goyim can't give Einish Misa for Marib and Malchus B'zman Shem Meis HaMikdash Kayim. The Nochrim can. But they gave a teretz. They said half of it was true, that we can't be done. Half of it was not true. That's only for Jewish people, not for Nochrim. There is a machlokes, the Rambam and the Smag, whether that din carries over to Malkus. Because the Gemara says many of the dinim of Misa carry over to Malkus, because Malkus, the Makam Misa Oimedis, one Tana is of the opinion that to judge whether one is Chayav Malkus, you need a Bezna of 23. The Gemara says, where did he get that from? The Psukim only indicate 23 by Din Nefoshes. How does he say by Malkus? Because he thinks Malkus from Mokam Misa Emeris. Just like Misa is a punishment for having done an Avera. So a person does any Avera really deserves a death penalty. The Torah was Mekel. But Malkus should have all the dinim like Misa. We don't pass him like that. But the Rambam writes, even though Malkus from Mokam Misa Emeris, the din is that the Malkus is Bishlosha. So the Rambam thinks that that concept, Malkus Mokam Misa Emeris, is accepted by all the Tanoim. So the Rambam writes that Malkim is Manazeh B'chol Mokim. Even though there's not Beis HaMikdash today, you can give Malkus anywhere in the world, provided that you have three smuchim. That in the days of the Rambam, nobody had any smicha. The real smicha disappeared a long time ago. Smicha es b'yesh mit p'yesh ad Moshe Abeinu. So there's nobody alive today who has real smicha. That's, I think, the only place in the Shulchan Aruch where they quote the Abar Banel. So the Ramah and Hilchas Hoyruasi Sevehetar, the Ramah quotes on that Barbanel that smicha that we have today is only imitation smicha. It's not real smicha. Everybody knows that. You didn't need an Barbanel for that. That's the only place that they quote that Barbanel. Okay. So the Rambam writes that you can give Malkus Bisman as a. The Mishlam Melech quotes the Smag, who says not so. The Smag thinks that since Malkus Mamakam Nisai Medes, so just like it can't be done Dini Nefashis Bisman Chaim Beis Hamikdashkaim, it can't be done Dini Malkus either. So the Mishlam Melech has a little sefer that's called Derech Mitzvah Secho. They have the whole sefer is now printed. If you have a sefer on mitzvahs, the Harambam with the Ramban, with the Megillas Esther, with all of the Mefarshim, so the in the back of all the regular editions of the sefer on mitzvahs, they'll have the whole kuntres of the Mishlam Melech. So the whole sefer Derech Mitzvah Secho, he tells you what are the disagreements between the Rambam and the Ramban and the Chinuch regarding Minyan on mitzvahs, and here and there he has little comments. So he has this little comment that is interesting, that in the 1500s, after the Spanish Inquisition, the expulsion, then they quested many of the Jews ran from Spain to Portugal. Then a few years later, 1497, they expelled the Jews from Portugal. So many Jews ran away to Eretz Yisrael at that time, to Tzfat. Tzfat became a big city then, because so many people ran away. So Rabbi Yosef Kara lived there. So they renewed the smicha at that time. The Rambam writes in a few places of all the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael gathered together. Even though nobody has smicha, ish min pi ish av Moshe Abbeinu, you can renew the smicha. What was the motivation all of a sudden then to renew the smicha? Many Jews had worshipped Christianity in order to save their lives. There were those who gave up their lives, and many, the time of the Crusades also, many Jews worshipped Avodah Zarah in order to save their lives. Then is you're not allowed to, but you can't fault the people who did. Matmas pachad misa, people can do anything. So they thought that you chayv kares. The Rambam says if you were pressured into worshipping Avodah Zarah, ni pachad misa, that oynes rachmana patre, that you're not chayv kares. But some other Rishonim disagree. So in the 1500s, that's what they thought. So they wanted, and there's a discussion in the third Perek in Makkos, the accepted opinion is that Chavi Krisu Shaloku Nifteru Midei Krisusim. If someone violated an Avera Sheish B'Kores, and the Bezin gives him Malkus, so after he gets the Malkus, he's not going to be Chavi B'Kores anymore. So many Jews had worshipped Avodah Zarah to save their lives in Spain and Portugal, but there were no Eidim v'Hasra'a. Nobody warned them in advance. So they assumed, the Chachamim, all the Rabbanim and Tzfat, they all assumed at that time, you don't have to have Eidim v'Hasra'a. If you have a Bezin, you have to have three Smuchim. You have to have three Smuchim. So they were interested in renewing the Smich in order to put together a Bezin of Shlosha Smuchim, that if someone will say, I worship Avodah Zarah, mi pachad misa, give me Malkus, so they'll give him Malkus and be off the hook. He won't be punished with the Kores. The whole thing was so wild. So the Mishlam Melech raises the issue that according to this Mag, just like there's no din in the Foshes, Bisman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim, so too there's no Malkus either. So they were relying on the Rambam. The Rambam says not so. But he raises the issue, the whole historically, they were prepared to give the Malkus, even though the Smag says he don't give Malkus Bisman Hazeh. It's interesting. Rav Soloveitchik said he heard from he used to visit his grandfather Rav Chaim once in a while as a young child. He lived in a different city. He was close to the other grandfather for many years. Then the last 2 years of Rav Chaim's life, I think they were together. But in the early years, he hardly ever visited the grandfather Rav Chaim. So he says on one occasion, he spoke a lot to the dying and learning. So Rav Simcha Zelig was of the opinion that even if, according to the Rambam, that you can do Chidush HaSmicha, if all the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael gather together, they confer Smicha on someone who's a valid Smicha. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Yesh Lahem Rishus Lodin Dinei Knosses. So Rav Simcha Zelig thought that it's only good for Knas, it's not good for Malkus at all. So the whole story in Tzfat, they were all the Rabbanim in Tzfat, they were all assuming that it's good for Malkus as well. That happens to be one of the times that the Mari Ibn Leib, not even Lev, Lev ibn Chabif lived in Yerushalayim. So they didn't invite any of the Rabbanim in Yerushalayim. When they had the big meeting in Tzfat, they didn't invite any Rabbanim, but they sent him a letter that they gave him smicha. So he said, thank you, but no thank you, you have no right to give any smicha, because he didn't invite any Rabbanim in Yerushalayim. So the whole thing is not valid. The Rambam says you have to invite all the Rabbanim from Eretz Yisrael. He said, if you would have invited all of us, and there would have been a machloikas, and the minority would have said they don't want to give smicha, so then they would be bottled bereif. We would be outvoted. But you didn't invite us at all. So he never followed the instructions of the Rambam that you gather together all the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. So that's one taina that he has, that the whole Chiddush HaSmicha wasn't valid. Then he has another taina. You're doing Chiddush HaSmicha to give Malkus. The Rambam only said that it's good for Knas. That's what Reb Simcha Zelig didn't realize that. That's a Maral Bach that wrote that in his Kuntres HaTshuva. It's printed in his Tshuvas. So anyway, but here the Pasuk, the Gemara interprets the Pasuk, that Ahasuerus spoke to the Yodei Hiwitim, those are the members of the Sanhedrin, and they didn't want to get involved. So they said, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, we can't be done dealing the fascists. Yeah, what was, and then, so what did he do after the Sanhedrin said he can't take care of him? So then he went, Rakor Ve'elav, Karshan HaShesa Admasa Tashish Meres Marsan HaMamuchan Shivas, Shiva Sari Parasa Madai, what should he do? So Mamuchan says, Lo ala melech levada ofsa vashti hamalka, ki al kol asar and kol ho'amim, shabachamadinas hamelech, not only has Vashti sinned against her husband, against the king, it's a sin against everybody, and therefore, so therefore what? That makes it better, makes it worse. It means it's neged, everybody's in the neged b'dover. Everybody's in the Gebedover. So if everyone's the Gebedover, so someone has to be done the case. So anyone can be done. So he said they should put it to death, okay, and they put it to death. So the Perek ends off, Lieskolish, Sorer Bebesam Daber Belush Kilushon Amo. There's a question what the correct pronunciation is supposed to be. You know, in the big Tanakh, they have printed in the margin, the Masorah. So sometimes it's not so clear how to read the Masorah. So on this Pasuk, many Rabbanim in Europe read the Masorah that it's supposed to be Shorer. Instead of Sorer, it's supposed to be Shorer, because he always quotes other Psukim that are connected with this Pasuk. So that's what some, I think, by Belzer Hasidim, I think, some Amak B'Talein is called this Shorer instead of Sorer. And the later Achrayim say that it's a misunderstanding of what the Masorah said. It means the same thing, though. Sar. Sar is Sarir. Then they were looking for a new queen. So they took Esther. So the Gemara raises the question, there is a din, v'haftar sasham alakech b'chol nafshech hafil enoyta le'esnafshecha. Sometimes we are called upon even to give up on our lives in order not to violate an Aveira. That's a din of Yehorek Val Yavar. So the Gimel Aveira Sachamuris, Abudazor Gile Raish V'chazdomim, the din is you always say Yehorek Val Yavar. Then Ashar Aveiras, the din is if it's Befahesia, Befahesia B'fnei Asarim Yisrael, also you say Yehorek Val Yavar. So the Gemara is bothered with Akasha. It's interesting that Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he writes, the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, that Yehorek Val Yavar is only b'fnei Asarim Yisrael. So Asarim Yisrael means you have to have 10 people who are bar, 10 men who are bar mitzvah. If you have 10 women or you have children who are not bar mitzvah, then that means star from the minyan. So Moshe says that the kula that we have in the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara, that if you have 9 men who are after Bar Mitzvah and a child before Bar Mitzvah, so you can be Mitzarev one child, a Mitzarev one Eved, one opinion, Mitzarev one woman. There was such an opinion. You can Mitzarev one woman to a minyan. So he said, these kulas are only when you want to say a Dovish HaBikdusha, but for Yehorek Val Yavar, that's the real din of Dovish HaBikdusha HaSorah. There, you wouldn't say that one child can be Mitzarev to the minyan. But by the real din of Yehorek Val Yavar, by the real din of Dovish HaBikdusha, you have 10 Gedolim b'nei bris, you're not mitzav one Eben, you're not mitzav one Isha, and so on. It's only because Dovah Shebikdusha is only the Rabbanon. So here the Gemara is bothered with a kasha that a Jewish woman living with a non-Jewish man is intermarried, so that's an Avera. And it's Bifarhes, what do you mean Bifarhes? There were 10 men in the bedroom when she was with Achashverosh. So the Rishonim say no, since 10 people knew about it, 10 Jewish, the whole Jewish community knew about it. They knew who Esther was, knew she was living with Achashverosh. So that has the same din as Farhesia, that's Yehoreg Val Yahweh. That was the Gemara's kasha. Why did the Gemara ask Esther Gili Arayis Havi? So the Ramban, the Ramo and Shulchan Aruch quotes the Ramban, that Gili Arayis is only in the other direction. If intermarriage is an Issa in either direction, a Jewish man lives with a non-Jewish woman, a Jewish woman lives with a non-Jewish man, but one direction is more chomer than the other. If a Jewish man lives with a non-Jewish woman, that's Yehoreg Val Yahweh, that the Ramo paskens like that Ramban. But here it's a Jewish woman living with a Jewish man. The children will be Jewish. So therefore, it's Shari Surim. It's not called Gili Arayis. Tosfos raises the kasha. It was Gili Arayis. Tosfos is not asking because of intermarriage. Tosfos is asking because she was married. It says that Lokoch Mordcha Lo Lebas. It says that Esther was a Yisoyma. Ein Lo Aviyim. And Mordechai took her labas, so Pasha Pshat, he adopted her as a daughter. So the Gemara says, no, I'll take your labas ala labayis, the Gemara Megillah. The Gemara has a Megillah from Daf Yud, around 10 Blat Gemara, comments on the Megillah, line by line. So the Gemara says that, I'll take your labas ala labayis, and basis of Ishto. Rashi quotes, Rabbi Saint Pirsha, labayis leisho. That's from the Gemara Megillah, that he married her. So that's Tosfos' kasha. According to that, I got it that she was married to Mordechai, so it shouldn't have been Yehoreg Val Yahweh because it's Gili Arayis. So the Baal HaMoor thinks that this Gemara, that Esther kasha, Esther for Hesia Havoy, the Gemara didn't ask Esther Gili Arayis Havoy. He says the two Gemaras disagree with each other. If this Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Afayin Dalet, if this Gemara would have thought like the Gemara Megillah that she was married to Mordechai, then they would have asked a bigger question, that it's Esther Gili Arayis Havoy. And the Baalei HaTosfos thought not so. That's in general. Baalei HaTosfos, whenever there's a contradiction between two Gemaras, so the Chach Misvard will sometimes, it'll be easier to say it's a machlokes between the sugyas. And the Baalei HaTosfos try more often than not to blend all the Gemaras in together. So Tosfos raises the issue. According to the Gemara Megillah, that Esther was married to Mordechai, so it should have been Gili Arayis, so it should have been Yehoreg Val Yahweh. So the Baalei HaTosfos gave two answers on the question. So the Rabbi Natam gives an answer that a Jewish woman who is violating Gili Arayis with a Nochri, there's Nochri of Misa, Achidish, there's Nochri of Misa. It doesn't say it in the Gemara. The Gemara says it differently. The Gemara says if you have a non-Jewish woman is married to a non-Jewish man. Non-Jewish couple is married, so that's there's an Ishus Yisrael and there's an Ishus Bnei Noach. So if a Nochri is Baal Eishus Ish, the Eishus Ish is married with an Ishus Bnei Noach, so then he's Chayiv Misa. But if for Jewish people to be Chayiv Baal Eishus Ish, it has to be Dafke Ishus Yisrael. So Ishus Bnei Noach not. So Rabbi Natam takes that Gemara, which we usually learn, it means Ishus Bnei Noach is a different level from Ishus Yisrael. And he says, no, that Nochri if someone is Mizana with a Nochri, there's no Chiv Misa. And Eishes Ish, Jewish Eishes Ish, married to a Jewish man, Mizana with a Nochri, there's no Chiv Misa. It doesn't really say that the Gemara, that's a Chiddush, the way the Rabbi Natam understood it. And the other Baalei HaTosfos gave a different answer on the Kasha. Why didn't the Gemara raise the issue that Esther was Gili Arayis, she was married to Mordechai? So the Baal HaMoor said this Gemara didn't agree with that Gemara. They would have asked the Kasha. They didn't ask because they didn't agree. They didn't have that tradition that Labas means Labaris. So the other Baalei HaTosfos gives a different answer that On the question that the Gemara did ask, Gemara asked that Esther was Shar Averis Bifar Hesya. So the din is that it's Yehar Gmal Yama. So the Gemara gives two answers. When do you say Shar Averis Bifar Hesya? Is Yehar Gmal Yavar? That's if the Nochem Amiskabin Lahavar Avadas. Let's say the Nochri just robbed the bank and he holds a gun and he wants me to drive him in the getaway car. He doesn't know Shabbos, doesn't know Jew, he doesn't know if I'm Jewish guy, he doesn't know anything about anything. So then the Gemara says, it's not Miskaben Lahavar al Adas. If it's Xeris Hashmad, or if it's Bifrahesi, even if it's not Xeris Hashmad, and the guy is Miskaben Lahavar al Adas, then you say, Yehorig Val Yabar, and Shara there is Bifrahes. But over here it was just Lahanu Asatzman, he wanted to have a good looking girl. That's one answer the Gemara gives. Then the Gemara gives another answer. That Esther Karko Elam Hoysa. She was B'Shev Altasa. Whenever you B'Shev Altasa, then you don't say Yehorig Val Yav. So that's what the Balei HaTosfos give as a mashal, that there's a din of Yehorig Val Yav or by Ritzicha. Let's say the Nochri, the Gemara himself, and tells the Nochri, comes to a Jew, and he says, I want you to murder so and so, and if you don't kill him, I'm going to kill you. So the Gemara says, what right do I have? The whole idea of Pikuach Nefesh is Dechav Kol HaTerakula. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu cherishes very much Nefesh Yisrael. So who says it's my Nefesh Yisrael? I'm allowed to murder another Jew in order to save my life. But he's going to lose his life. So my chaz is the Domine Dachzum Mitzvei. Who says that my life is more valuable than his life? So you're not allowed to act B'kum Yaseh. I'm not allowed to kill the other Jew in order to save my life. But what if they want to take me? This is the Moshel that Tez gives. They want to take me and drop me on a baby, and the baby will be crushed to death. I'm going to be completely passive. They're going to rot some lizard goes to Alatinoik to kill the Tinoik. So I'm not mechuyev to fight with them, that then they're going to kill me. I'm not mechuyev to fight. I'm acting b'shev altasim. You don't know, Michael, you don't know whether my life is more valuable than his. His is more valuable than mine. So act b'shev altasim if you don't know. So that's what the Balei HaTosfos assumed the Dover Poshut like that. And they said that's what the Gemara answered, that Esther was Karko Elam Hoysa, that she was acting passively the whole time that she was with Achashverosh. She was always passive. So whenever you're passive, so there's no din of Yehorig Val Yav. So that the Gemara knew for Dover Poshut, that Esther was not Mechuyev to be Moisa Nefesh because of Gilei Arayis, because she shaved Al Tasa. But the Gemara asked the question, but it's Farhesia. It's Sharav, any Aver be Farhesia. So Farhesia, that's Mamish, you're making a Chil Hashem. So that the Gemara thought that the Shev Al Tasa wouldn't be a valid answer over there. So that was the Gemara was Macharish, that even regarding an Aver be Farhesia, you also say Shev Al Tasa Odev. Is there any difference, Halacha and Maisa, between the two answers, the Rabbi Natam's answer and the Rivab's answer? So that was a Tosis and a few places quotes. That was a big cause celebre during the days of the Crusades and the days of the Balei HaTosfos. The Rabbi Natan was almost killed on Shavuos by the Crusaders. They tried to kill him. Many Rishonim were killed by the Crusaders. Many of them were killed by the Crusaders. So there was a Maisa Shahaya that the Crusaders, they certainly meant L'Shem Shamayim. They wanted to bring Avodah Zarah to the whole wide world. They wanted to conquer Jerusalem. And they were waiting for the second coming of Osa Ho'ish. But some of them were interested in having a good time with the women. So there was one of the crusaders was Mezana with one of the Jewish women, and he didn't kill her. Instead of killing all of the Jewish people on the way to Yerushalayim, because they're not going to convert to Christianity, he was Mazana with her. So the woman had to get divorced from her husband because her nation's isha zitzas or abayla. That's a dinner, saita vadai. So then the shaila was, the crusader later on didn't go to Yerushalayim and he converted, he became Jewish. So the shaila was, is he allowed to marry this woman with whom he had an affair? The din is that kshem shasur al abal kach asur al abayl. If someone is Mazana with an isha zitzas, the saita is asur al abayla and asur al abayl. Whenever a woman gets divorced because she had an affair with someone else, so the Bezna always writes the Ptur, so they write, she's Materis Lachalodam, Chutz Menaboyl. They add on, Chutz Menaboyl, not allowed to marry the boy. So here the shayla was, is she allowed to marry the boil? So Rabbi Natan came up with this chiddush that Bias Hakam doesn't count. He's not called the boil. She's permitted to marry the boil. And many of the Balei HaTos disagreed with Rabbi Natan. So they said, no, it's a different reason why it's not Yehorg Valya, because it's Sheva Al Tasa, but she is Asura La Boil. In Shulchan Aruch, the very end, the very last page, in Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra, I think it's next to the last Sif in Eben Ezra, they quote the Psak of the Rabbi Natan. He passed like the Rabbi Natan, but in the Bir Agra, he quotes that there are three different explanations why she Muteris La Boil. So one explanation is what the Rabbi Natan said, a big chiddush, that Bia Sakam is not considered Bia, he's not called a boil. The Rishonim gave a different explanation, that he said Gersh and his guy could cut Nishanala Dami. She was Asur ala boil, but then he converted. So whenever a Nochri converts, the whole past history is all wiped off. That's a big chiddush, that's pshat. That Gersh and his guy cut Nishanala Dami. Pashat pshat in all the Gemaras, it doesn't mean that. There's several Gemaras where the Gemara applies that principle. Gersh and his guy cut Nishanala Dami, they're not talking. Let's say a non-Jew borrowed money from the bank, and then he converts and he changes his name. He doesn't have to pay back the money to the bank. He borrowed the money from the bank. He borrowed $500,000 from the bank. He's the same person. He'll say, Kikotin Shanala Domni. If he owes money, he owes money. Kikotin Shanala Domni only appears in the Gemara in the three places with respect to Kraven that is not related to the relatives from before. Let's say two brothers are Pasalaidus, but two non-Jews who are brothers who both converted are Koshalaidus. As we say, Gersh and his guy cut Nishanala Dami, they're not brothers anymore. They never even made a chumra midrabanan. They left the din like that. Let's say a brother and a sister both convert. So Minatari Digmar says they're permitted to marry each other because they're no longer brother and sister. Midrabanan, they prohibited them from marrying, and Taisa shows that there are two different reasons, and you always have to avoid. Sometimes one reason applies, sometimes the other reason applies. You have to avoid violation of the din, the rabbanon, in all the cases where either one reason or the other applies. Then the third gemara is, let's say, a nochri converts and his father dies and his father leaves a big yerusha. So the gemara says, ben atarik kikot nishanol adami, he doesn't get the yerusha. He's not related to the father anymore. But the Rabbanan, the Gemara says, they changed the din, and they said he should get the Yerusha because they're afraid. He may decide to convert back to his old religion in order to get the Yerusha. He may be so enticing, it may be so much money involved, that he may want to give up his whole Jewish religion. So made a takana the Rabbanan that he does get his share in the Yerusha. So all the three Gemaras that talk about Kukat and Shanoel Adami, Gersh and Isgar Kukat and Shanoel Adami, they're really only talking about the Kroivim, two brothers, a brother and a sister, a child and a father, that they're not related anymore. But to say you wipe off the whole past history, that the Nochri was Mezana with Deishis Ish when he was a Nochri, now that he converts, he's considered Ani Ish Acher. I'm a different person. He's not Kshem Shasu Ala Bal Kachasar Ala Bal. He's not the boil. How could he all of a sudden become not the boil? So most of the Rishayim don't agree with that reason. But they're only going quotes all the three. The three different explanations. We only said two out of the three. One is Rabbi Natan that ain't biyosa biya, difficult explanation. One is Kukot and Shanol Adam. And the third explanation is that since when he was mezana when the Christian was mezana with the Jewish woman, she was also to marry him anyway. He wasn't even Jewish. So even though later on he converted, he becomes Jewish. But since at the time that he was mezana with her, the Issa wasn't Chal, the Issa the Baal wasn't Chal, because she's Asura anyway. So therefore the Issa isn't Chal later on. That's based on the Gemara and Saita. The Gemara has such a Svar. So in Shulchan Aruch, we pass like the Rabbi Natan, but it's not necessarily for his reason that ain't be Asabir. The Dondagon quotes all the three different explanations that the Rishonim have. Anyway, so the Gemara has this discussion. Why was Esther permitted to live with Achashverosh? Shouldn't it be Shari Surim Bifarhesik? Because there were 10 Jewish men who knew about the fact that she was living. The whole Jewish community knew about it. She was living with Achashverosh. And even though they weren't there present in the bedroom, but if 10 Jewish people know about it, that's also called Farhesim. But the fact that it's, if she weren't, If it would have been Bitzin, if he wouldn't have been Bifarhesia, there wouldn't have been a din of Yarg Val Yavar. So the Ramah quotes that Ramban, because when the Jewish girl marries a Nochri, the children will be Jewish. So that's not called Gili Arais, but the reverse. If a Jewish man lives with a Nochris, the children will be Jewish. So that's called Boil Aramis. That's called Yehar. That's Yehar Gval Yavar already. The Ramah quotes that Lahaloch. Later on, when Haman got Ahasuerus to make a gzeirah to kill all the Jews, and then Mordechai gave a message to Esther that she better go quickly now. She shouldn't wait till next year, Chodesh Adar. It was Nisan, Chodesh Nisan. When they made the gzeirah, she has to go right now. So they were fasting for 3 days. And the Chazal say, it says in the Pesukim, they were fasting on Yom Tov Pesach. It was Shaloi Kados, it was Vayavar Mordechai. He violated the din. The din is you're not allowed to fast on Yom Tov. That's a din deraisa. Yom Tov there's a chi of Simcha, so he's supposed to eat. But they had no choice. Just like, let's say a person has a frightening dream, so he takes it to heart. So then the Gemara says it's considered a Safik Sakona, so we allow him to fast on Shabbos. Tainus Chaloyim, you can fast on Shabbos. So we assume there's a discussion in the Dark Emotion by the Ramah on the bottom of the page in the tour, whether that din you can fast Tainus Chaloyim on Shabbos, does it only apply to Shabbos, or does it even apply to Yom Tov? It's usually assumed it does apply to Yom Tov also. There's room to distinguish. But we pass on that it applies to Yom Tov also. So this was mamish frightening. This wasn't a dream. This was a real sakana. So they felt that they were permitted to fast on Yom Tov. So she agreed with Marta. She has to go speak to Ahasuerus. And she says, Kasher avarati, avarati. What do you mean, Kasher avarati, avarati? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, that until that time, she was only living with Ahasuerus, Bal Korcha, she was only passive. But now she's being proactive. She's going to go to the king. He hadn't called on her for 30 days. She's going to go, and she's going to make love with him, and then she's going to try to convince him to save the Jewish people. So she says, now she's going to be Asura al-Bailo. Now she's going to be Asura al-Bailo. She's going to be Asura to Mordechai because she's going to be an Eishes Ish, a Zintza B'Rotzen. So if she's Eishes Ish, Zintza B'Rotzen, so don't do it. That's Yehor Gval Yavar. So that's what Rabbi Reichman spoke about this Leil Shabbos, that in the end of the last Siman in Ebenezer, they talk about the Dinam of Soita, Eishes Ish, a Zintza. So you're not allowed to be mezana. Eishes is not allowed to be mezana even for the sake of pikuach nefesh. But if it's v'hatzolos klal Yisrael, then we assume that it is mutter. Despite the fact that it's mutter, the woman becomes asur al bailo. This was for the purpose of v'hatzolos klal Yisrael, because they were going to kill all the Jews. The sheva v'yesem and meyo medina. The pischei tshuva there on that siman quotes a tshuva from the Nodi Behuda that there was a group of Jews who were traveling on a highway. And a whole bunch of gangsters attacked the whole group, and they wanted to kill all the people, 25 people, and wanted to kill everybody in order to steal their money. So one of the married women started making love with the captor, and she was mezana with him in order to save the whole group. So the question, so she becomes Asura al-Baila, okay, but are she allowed to do that? So Nadi Behuda says, no, it's only mutat solas klal Yisrael. Not Atzola of 25 Jews or 150 Jews. So this Klal Yisrael, the whole Klal Yisrael was b'sakana here. They wanted to kill all the Jews. So the Pischei Tshuva quotes that on that last siman in Ebenezer, that this kula that they quote from the Maharik, that for Hatzolos Klal Yisrael you're permitted to violate Kili Arayis, doesn't apply if it's just a small group of people. That's why Esther says, Kasher avarati avarati, now she's going b'rotzen, it's mutter. But she becomes Asura al-Bailo. in Shulchan Aruch they talk about that. Even though the Eish Ish Zinta was beheter, it's beheter Rabbi Hifat Solvus Kol Yisrael. She still becomes Asur al Bailo. It says a mola mal beisha in Parsha Saita.
What coins are a mal? The Rebbe quoted that a Jewish woman who's in so with a non-Jewish man isn't as bad. What would Rebbe Rama do with this Rashi and this Maimer Chazal? Would that be so?
The Rama says. The Rabbeinu Tam says that there's no chiyuv misa because ain't be also bia, but the Rishonim point out the Shita Mukubetzes, where this Tosafot appears at the beginning of Ksuvos Dav Gimel and Ksuvos. So the Rabbeinu Tam has to agree that the woman becomes Asur al Bailo. She does become Asur al Bailo because that's a Mishnah in the second Perek in Ksuvos, that if an Eishes Ish was held captive in a prison by Goyim, and they have a right to kill her, so they have a right to do whatever they want with her. If she's in prison because of tax evasion, then they have no right to start up with her. So we don't assume she's Asur al Bailo. But if a woman is a Shvuya, she was put into prison, they can kill her. Like under the Nazis. They were killing Jewish women every day. So then the din is that a Shvuya is Asur al Koyin. He's not allowed to marry a Koyin. After the war was over, the Shaila was asked. It's interesting, Rav Moshe Feinstein didn't print any tshuva about this. There must have been someone in America who asked Mishana. There were thousands, hundreds of thousands of women who survived the war, shvuyas, and they should have been asura to marry Kohanim. Many of them married Kohanim. So the Rabbanim in Europe, Pascha and the Shaila, they gave different reasons why they were muta, why they were allowed to marry Kohanim. But usually the din is that they're not allowed to marry Kohanim. It's exerid the Rabbanim. Even though the woman swears on a stack of Bibles that she wasn't nensa by the goy, the chachamim asked her a chumra. So they gave different reasons why it didn't apply in the situation of the Nazis. But the Shinting Ratzah said the Rabbeinu Tam has to admit that the woman becomes asur al Bailo. So she was living with someone, the mola mal the isha, in Parshas Nasa, when you have the din of the Saita. So it says, Molam al Bisha, so the Marik is Medaika. It doesn't say Molam al Bashem. It says, Molam al Bisha. She knew that she was living with someone other than her own husband, even though it was B'mokha Mitzvah for Bikwal Nefesh or Kwal Yisrael. Or let's say she was absent that day when they went to school, in high school, she was absent when they taught the Dinam of Loisinov. So she thought it was Mutta. She never knew that there's an Isser, Eshes Isha Zinza. But she knows she's living with someone other than her husband. So that's not called Eishes Ishe Zinza B'Shoigig. Eishes Ishe Zinza B'Shoigig means she thought it was her husband. She didn't realize that it was someone other than her husband. If she knows it's not her husband, she's just B'Shoigig, she never heard of the love of Loisinov. That still becomes Asur al Bailo. That's called because she knows that it's not her husband. So it's Amal Amal Bisha, doesn't say Amal Amal Bashem. So the same over here. Even though it's beheta, because it's for the sake of Hatzolos Klal Yisrael, so there's no aver, but still, she knows that she's living with someone other than her husband, so she becomes Asur al Bailo. Yeah. Some wanted to say, based on that, Marik, Amal Amal Bisha, a few times the case comes up. A woman is not happily married. She says her husband doesn't give her pleasure when they're together. So she wants to marry someone else. So the husband says, it's your fault, it's not my fault. You're a cold fish. So he wants to prove to her that it's her fault. So he says, here's my business partner, you sleep with him. So the husband gives permission, he encourages his wife, they don't know the dinim. The Jewish husband encourages his wife, she should sleep with the goy. So the shaila is, would she become asur al bailo or not? Since it depends on mala mal beisha, she violated the trust of the husband. It doesn't say mala mal b'ashem. Mala mal beisha is here. It's not mal beisha. The husband encouraged her to sleep with his goyisha partner. So some rabbanim wanted to say that the woman doesn't become asur al bailo because it depends on mala mal beisha. So Moshe has a tshuva about this. My father had that shaila more than once. Unfortunately, more than once. We don't assume like that. We don't assume like that. The woman knows she's living with someone other than her husband, even though the husband encouraged her to. She still becomes Asura al Bayl. Yeah. The Pasuk tells us that Bigson and Seresh were planning to poison the king, and Mordechai overheard them planning. They were speaking a foreign language, and they thought that this rabbi with the long beard and bangs wouldn't understand it. So the Gemara says, because he was from the Sanhedrin had to know all the Shiva and the Shinas, Rashi quotes it. Sanhedrin has to know all the languages, because when witnesses come to testify, the Bezna has to be able to hear directly from the witnesses. When Baladinim come to have a Din Torah, so the Bezna has to hear directly from the Baladinim what their taina is. If they hear from a Meturgamon, it's not a good Din Torah. So that's why the Din is that the Sanhedrin has to know all the Shiva Meloshim. So he knew that language. So he overheard that they were trying to kill a king, so he saved the king. So that's crucial in the story later. That's why Balaluhu Nodosh Nasamelach Achashverish couldn't sleep. And then they read him the Rehayom, and they read him the Chronicles, and he realizes that he never gave any Hakoras HaTayv to Mordechai. So that comes in later in the story. But the Chazal point out that he knew all the Shiva Lashon, that's why he understood. Haman is described the Haman ben Hamdasa ho Agogi. So we usually assume Agogi means he was a descendant of Agag. Agag is in Sefer Shmuel. Agag was the king of the of the Amalekim. That's the Pashup Shat. And Haman was an Amaleki. There is a discussion that Achrenim have. He was a businessman in Poland before the war. Rabbi Yeruchim Perla. He put out three fat volumes of the Sefer Mitzvah of Sadigan. Sadigan wrote a poem that they used to recite on Shavuos. And in the poem, he runs through all of the Taryag Mitzvahs. So this Rabbi Yeruchim Perla worked on the poem. The poem is only two or three pages long, and the books are three volumes the size of Baba Basra. And it takes him forever till he explains what is the Shita of Rav Sadigan, which mitzvahs did he decide not to count, which mitzvahs did he count, which does he count twice and three times. What's the cheshbon of Rav Sadigan? So he has a fantastic mastery over all the piyutim. He brings rice from piyutim composed by Rishainim, and Slichas and Kinnis, what they wrote, to try to figure out what all the illusions are, what Rav Sadigan is talking about. So he has a whole discussion there. At the end of the Megillah, after Haman is gotten rid of, so it says that Ahasuerus gave to Esther to give to Mordechai base Haman. So the Achrayim raise a question. If Haman was really an Amaleki, Haman HaGogi, he was a descendant from Agag, who was an Amaleki, and many assume, Rashi and Chumash, Rashi and Gemara assumes he's not allowed to get benefit from anything from Amalek. The Rambam never quotes that. The Rambam just quotes the din, you have to wipe out the people from Amalek. And what it says in Sefer Shmuel, in the Haftorah of yesterday's, in Shabbos Dika Haftorah, that they should kill all the behemoths. The Rambam assumes that that was just a Hiruasho. That wasn't the Din L'Doros. But Rashi assumes that that's the Din L'Doros. You're not allowed to take anything from an Amalekim. So that's the question. What right did... How did Mordechai take Beis of Shalhaman if it's also Bahanon? So Rabbi Yeruchim Perla works on this Kasha. He quotes the Kasha of Machrayim. It works on the Kasha. So he gives one he has one answer from the Yerushalmi, that when it says Haman HaAgogi, it doesn't really mean that he was a descendant of Agag. He wasn't really an Amaleki at all, but because he was an anti-Semite who wanted to kill all the Jews, so they called him an Amaleki. They called him an Agogi, just like in the Gemara. In the Gemara in Erevin, the Gemara says, when you have 100 tenants living in an apartment building and you want to carry in the hallways, you have to make an Erev. So you can make the Eruv v'chatzeres, put away a box of matzah, zon b'shutzah, by all the Jews, that takes care of all the Jews. What about the non-Jews who live there? So you have to rent for the non-Jews. What if the non-Jew doesn't want to rent to you? So the Gemara tells you what you have to do. So in the days of the Gemara, they would call the Goy who didn't want to participate by renting his apartment to the Jews. They would call him Haman. They gave him a nickname, Haman. Haman is an anti-Semite. Anyone is an anti-Semite, we call him Haman. So we call on Amaleki. You call Haman Agogi. He wasn't really a descendant of Agog. So since he wasn't really an Amaleki, so that's why Beis Hashal Haman was Mutter. That's one suggestion based on the Yerushalmi, that when it says Agogi, it's a nickname. It's not really true. He wasn't really from Agog. Then he has another suggestion, Rabbi Yerucham Perla, that that since Haman was Harugei Malchus, the king killed him because he thought he was more than Malchus. He wanted to kill the queen. He wanted to kill all the Jewish people, and Esther Amalka was from the Jewish people. So one is Marbe Malchus, Nechseim Lamelech. The king has a right to take all the property. So the king confiscated all of Haman's property, and then he gave it over to Mordechai. So that's like the Gemara says, Amen Amoyav Tihar V'sichayin. The Jewish people were told they're not allowed to take anything from Amen Amoyav. But because Sichon waged war against Amen Amoyav, and then the Jewish people took it away from Sichon. We didn't take it away directly from Amen Amoyav. So that it was laundered. Their land was laundered because it was taken over by Sichon. So that's what Gemara says. Amen Amoyav tiharu b'Sichon. So here also, the property of Haman was laundered. It was first confiscated by Achashverosh, and then Mordechai took it from Achashverosh. So since he's not taking it directly from Haman, he suggests maybe that's also why it's mutter. Others give another suggestion. Maybe the mitzvah of wiping out Amalek is only when the Jewish people have an army, and it's Derech Melchama. But here, there was no Jewish government. It wasn't the wiping out of Haman's anti-Semites. It wasn't organized by a Jewish army. There was no Jewish government at that time. The Jews were in self-defense. They were given permission to wipe out all of the enemy. So maybe the whole din that wiping out Amalek, and you're not allowed to get benefit from any of the property, maybe it only applies when it's done derech melchama. Here it wasn't. Perhaps it wasn't considered derech melchama. The Gemara has a famous comment: Haman menatora minayin. Where is there a remes for Haman in the Chumash? So the Gemara comes up. That's a Gemara in the end of Chulin. Gemara comes up with a pasuk in Bereishis. Admiration ate from the Eitz Hadas. So then they heard Hashem coming, so they hid among the tree, in the middle of the forest and the trees. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and he says, Hamenu Eitz Hashem Tzivisicha L'Vil Te'ochom Emenu Acholtel. So the letters are Hey Mem Nun, but it's not Haman, it's Hamenu Eitz. Hamenu Eitz. So what are they? They're just looking for a Pasuk and Chumash that has the three letters in a row. Haman. They could have quoted that pasuk. If they're not looking for the word Haman, they could have quoted a pasuk Haman. So they quote from the Vilna Gaon. No, the Gemara was asking Haman Manatar Minayin. Where do you see such a human psychology? Haman has made himself into an Avodah Zara, or he's walking with an Avodah Zara, with a whatever, some crucifix, whatever on his chest, and he wanted everybody to bow down to him. And everybody was bowing down except for Mordechai. So everybody else was bowing down. So that's not enough. No, he has to have every single person has to bow down. Adam Rishon was allowed to eat. Mikol Eitz Hagan Hashabak. Mikol Eitz Hagan Ochel Teuchel. Only one tree. The Eitz Hadas he's not allowed to eat from. He's allowed to eat every other tree. So that's what the Gemara Haman Manatar Manan. What do you need? Where do you see such a psychology that a person is not satisfied by having 99.99% of all of his pleasure? He has to have 100%. That was by the Adam Harishon. He was allowed to eat from all the trees, and he Dafka wanted to eat from the forbidden tree. That's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon. So the Pasuk says, Haman negotiated with Ahasuerus, and they made exert to wipe out all the Jews, and they drew lots when they're going to wipe out the Jews next year. It was in Chodesh Nisan, and they're going to wipe out all the Jews next year. So the Pasuk says that everybody was very distraught, and Mordechai is going around screaming, "Vayizok zokah gedola mora." He's screaming out loud. So the Netziv in his commentary on Chumash points out that when Yaakov, when Yitzchak Avinu wanted to give a bracha to Esav, and he told him to go hunting and go get some meat and prepare it for me the way I enjoy it. So the mother, Rivka, told Yaakov he should prepare the food. So Yaakov went and he got the brachas. Then when Esav came, 2 minutes after Yaakov left, and he finds out that the Yitzchak Avinu already gave the bracha to Yaakov, so he screams out, "Yitzchak zokah gedola morad miyod." The same expression that appears here appears over there, and the Medrash puts it together. What's the connection between the two? So the Netziv in his commentary on Chumash interprets that Medrash, putting the Lushainas together, to mean that Yaakov Avinu he fooled the father into believing that he was Esav. The mother insisted he should do it. And the mother said, "Alai kilolos chabini." She heard benevua that's where he has to go. But still, he did an avera lishma. He did an avera lishma. So whenever you do an avera lishma, it has to really be lishma. So when Esav said, this is what the Netziv is interpreting in his commentary on Bereishis, that when Esav found out that Yaakov had already fooled Yitzchak and he already got the brachas, and he was very aggravated by Yitzchak, so Yaakov Avinu had a little pleasure from that. He's finally getting even with his older brother. He was not unhappy that his older brother was upset. He was a little happy. He felt good about that. So that's not lishma. Whenever you do an avera lishma, it has to be lishma. If you have personal pleasure from doing the avera, then you need a kapara. So the kapara came generations later. What's the connection, though? The kapara came generations later when Mordechai was aggravated over the fact that Haman convinced Ahasuerus that they should wipe out all the Jews. This is how he interprets that medrash. So he doesn't explain all the details, but the moral of the story is important, that sometimes in life you're faced with a situation, you have to do an aver lishma, but you have to realize that aver has to really be lishma. If you're going to get personal pleasure from the aver, that takes away a little bit from the lishma. Aver lishma, then it seems there has a little bit. Aver lishma is not the same as pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh, let's say the Hatzalah people have to drive someone to the hospital on Shabbos. So they don't have to do any kapara. They don't need a kapara because they're mechal Shabbos. It's absolutely heta gomer. Aver lishma, we would recommend you should do it. But then you need a kapar because of the fact that they did the aver lishma. So let's say a person had this terrible dream on Friday night that he's going to die or someone close to him is going to die, and he's nervous about it. If he wakes up, he laps it off. So forget about it. But if he's nervous about it, then the din requires he's mechuyif to fast even on Shabbos. And if he'll postpone the fast till Sunday, that's no good. It has to be the same day. But then he has to fast on Sunday because he needs kapara for the fact that he fasted on Shabbos. So why does he fast on? So they're not fast on Shabbos. No. So Tosfos points out, he has to fast on Shabbos the same day. He can't postpone the fast. But there is no heta to fast on Shabbos. Not considered a sofik pikuach nefesh. That it should be matter fasting. It's avera lishma. So whenever you do an avera lishma, then you need a kapara for having gone the avera lishma. It's problematic. How do you determine when it's an Avera Lishma and when it's Pikuach Nefesh, that's Dechah Kola Terukuna. And when it's Pikuach Nefesh, then you don't need any kaparis. So Esther heard that Mordechai is screaming and he's wearing torn begodim. He said that all the Jews ripped their begodim. He was wearing sackcloth. So Mordechai sends a message to Esther. You better get involved. Mia demleis kazos higat la malchus. Don't think that you'll be safe. Al tedadim nafshech limolad beis hamelch mikol ayudim. Don't think that you're going to be safe because you're married to Achashverosh. You can lose your life also. Mia demleis kazos higat la malchus. What does that mean? So pashup shad. Maybe next year you won't be the queen anymore. Maybe you won't be in the Beis HaMalchus and you'll be back, maybe the king will get rid of you and then you'll be killed together with everybody else. But others, Lam Shat, Mi Odem Leis Kazos Yigat LaMalchus, Rav Soloveitchik once gave a whole drasha on this topic. Rav Soloveitchik's wife passed away a few days before Purim, so he was sitting Shiva on Purim. So every year he used to, after she passed away, he would give an English talk in Lampert Auditorium for the girls from Star College. So they would all come here to the auditorium and he would give a lecture. So they printed quite a few of the lectures. Maybe they printed them all, I don't know. So one of them he gave a whole, he developed a whole idea. It's from Achrayim, this idea. The Sefer, the Sefer Haredim. As I said, the Sefer Haredim was around the same time as Rabbi Yosef Karo in the 1500s. So the Sefer Haredim has, there's a Gemara in the end of Megillah where there were Tanoim and Amram who lived to a ripe old age. So the student says to them, "Bameha rachta yamin, what do you attribute your longevity to?" So each one said, "Midas Chasidus," and he was careful about it. Shoin. So the Sefer Haredim has a comment on that whole Daf Gemara, the whole Agarta. He gets the impression from the Gemara that each of us is brought into the world to accomplish a certain goal. In addition to that goal, whenever one of the mitzvahs come our way, we have to say Kriyat Shema every day, we have to wear tefillin every day, Shabbos Kashrus, you have to observe all the mitzvahs. But in addition to observing all the mitzvahs, there's a purpose why there's a special shlichus that each person has. So there's such an agadita in the Yerushalmi where Rab Tarfin was a single when he was before he got married. So he once took sick and his mother came to the Beis Medrash and she was pleading with the Chachamim, they should daven, her son is such a tzaddik, he's a Talmid Chacham, they should daven for him because he's extremely careful about Kibbutz Aviyim. And she told over the story that once she didn't have any slippers, so he would, when she woke up in the morning, and it was cold on the floor, so he would put his hands on the floor and she would put her feet on top of his hands. He didn't want his mother to feel the cold of the floor. He was extremely careful about Kibbutz Aviyim. So the Tanaim said, "That's a garnished. Adayin lehegia, he didn't even fulfill 50% what he's supposed to fulfill." So the Mefarshim and Yerushalmi ask, what kind of a response is that? The woman is heartbroken, her son is sick. So they tell her, and she says, her son is such a wonderful tzaddik. And they say, yeah, he's not such a tzaddik. So he's asking, have rachmanis, pray for my son. So the Mefarshim on the side of Yerushalmi, I think Rabbi Soloveitchik said it over, Mefarshim printed on the side of the Yerushalmi, they give the pshat, that maybe that was his mission in life, to be makbid alat about kibirav, kibireim. Apparently, there was no father. He kibireim. So the Tanoim said, "You think that that's he's careful about that? He still didn't fulfill half of what he's supposed to do. If that's his mission in life, he has to live on. Because once a person finishes his mission in life, there's no need for him to live on. So the Rabbanim wanted to save his life. So they said, maybe that's his mission in life. And he didn't fulfill even half of what he's supposed to do. That was their way of saying that he should live on because he didn't fulfill yet. So that was the suggestion that maybe that's pshat. Maybe this is why it turned out, why did such a terrible tragedy occur to you that you had to marry Achashverosh? Maybe this is the purpose why, in order that you should save all the Jewish people. Maybe this is your special mission in life, to save all the Jewish people. That's what they sent letters to Kissinger when Kissinger was the Secretary of State of the United States. He used to be in Germany. He lived in Frankfurt. He used to be, his parents were members of Breuers. When he married his non-Jewish spouse, his father sat Shiva, and the mother went to the wedding on Shabbos. He married the Goyisha wife on Shabbos. So the father was a member of Breuers. So he sat Shiva, and the mother wanted to go to the wedding. So she went to the wedding on Shabbos. So they sent him a letter when he became Secretary of State. Maybe you were appointed to be the Secretary of State in order to save Medina Yisrael. There were difficult years then, so he didn't support any Jewish causes. He was not too helpful at all. But Esther Amalka was. So that was the theme of Rav Soloveitchik's talk one year. This the philosophy of mission, I think when they printed it in English, I think that was the title he gave. So then it says they were fasting for 3 days. And it says, Vayava Mordechai. Mordechai, Rashi says, Vayava Mordechai al-Das. He violated the din of his sanas beyond the Rishon Shal Pesach. He fasted 3 days in a row. That was Yontav Pesach. It says that she fasted Ashalo Kadas. She fasted, it was against the din. You're not allowed to fast on Pesach. And then the king couldn't sleep. So the Medrash says that when Achashverosh told Haman he should give all of this cover to Mordechai because he saved his life, he should dress him up and march with him in the street and everything. So the Medrash, the Gemara Megillah says that Haman crossed over the river. Haman was in the capital, that part of the city, Shushan Abira. He crossed over the river into Shushan, where Mordechai was teaching children. It was Pesach. So on the second day Pesach, he bring the Minchas HaOmer. So he was teaching about Kmitzas Minchas HaOmer. Why? Because there's a bunch of Beis HaMikdash Kayim. You bring the Karbon, there's a bunch of Beis HaMikdash Kayim. There's a din and shalma for him, Sosenu. So he was teaching the children about the Minchas HaOmer. There was a conversation between Haman and Mordechai. The Gemara has this conversation, and he said the kmitza of his Minchas HaOmer is worth more than the fortune of money that Haman promised that he's going to give Achashverosh if he lets him kill all the Jews. Well, it says how much he promised to give. So his little kmitza, the kmitza that he was talking to the children about, was outweighed the millions of dollars that he was going to give the king in order to kill all the Jewish people. So Esther comes into the Beis HaMalchus. And she says she wants to have a party with Haman. Where is it? And the king asks, Ma bakoshosech achatzei amalchus v'seos? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, achatzei amalchus, the Beis HaMikdash, was in the middle of the Sheva v'yesa b'mea Medina. That's the Gemara's tradition, was that the story of Purim occurred when there was no Beis HaMikdash. That's what we spoke about on Shabbos. What right did they have in the first place to establish the Yontif? All the Yom Tovim and Megillah's Tainus all revolve about the Beis HaMikdash. Gemara says you're not allowed to establish a Yontif b'zman she'ein Beis HaMikdash Kaim. You only have a right to establish an additional Yontif in the Rabbanon if it has something to do with the Beis Hamikdash. So that was the kasha that they were all bothered with. The Nesibis, with the Sfasemes, with the Turi Evan, the Shagas Aryeh Sefer HaMegillah. What right did they have to make the Yontif in the first place? So they all explained somehow they felt it's going to lead to the building on the Beis Hamikdash. So this is one of the many Agaritas that assume so, that the story of Purim occurred when there was no Beis Hamikdash standing, because Ahasuerus at Chatzi HaMalchus, I won't give in about building the Beis Hamikdash, don't ask me about that. But Pashup Shad Rashi said, Pashup, I love you so much, I'll give you anything. I'll give you half of the kingdom. So the king asks, Ma bakosh asech ad chatzi hamalchus, whatever you want. So she says, Sheila si, bakosh asi, come to a party. Amocha eseh kidvar hamelech. What is kidvar hamelech? So Pashup Shad kidvar hamelech. He want to know what Sheila si, bakosh asi. So I'll tell you tomorrow. Rashi has a different shot. Kidvar HaMelech, you've been asking me for the longest time already, for the last couple of years. You want to know what's my background. So come to the party tomorrow, the second party, and I'll tell you. Masha bikashta mimani kol hayomim, for a long time. So then, when they had the second party, then she told Ahasuerus, I'm Jewish, and I'm from the Jewish people, and this guy Haman wants to kill all of us. So when she told him she's Jewish, she told him she's a descendant from Shaul HaMelech. And that's why the Pasuk says, the Gemara has this comment, that's why the Pasuk says, where is it? By the second party. Here in Perek Zion, Pasuk Hei, Vayom HaMelech HaChashverosh, Vayomel Esther Hamalka. Vayomel Achashverosh doesn't say what. There's Vayomel Esther Hamalka. It should say Vayomel Achashverosh Esther Hamalka. Why does it say twice Vayomer? So the Gemara explains. First Vayomer, all the time that he was married, a strange comment, the Gemara, all the time that he was married with Esther, and he never knew that she was a descendant from the Jewish kingdom, from Shaul HaMelech, so he never spoke to her directly. He used to have a meturgman all the time. But then when she finally told him that she's a descendant from Malchus, Vayomer HaMelech HaChashverosh, really? Then Vayomer Esther HaMalka, then he spoke to her directly. He no longer needs a meturgman. That's what the Gemara interprets, why it says Vayomer twice. From now on, he can talk to her directly, because at the second party, she revealed what she had to reveal in order to explain that Haman wants to kill her. He wants to kill her nation. A wild story that he was living with a woman and he never spoke to her directly. But that's how the Gemara understood. So they killed Haman, okay. Then they sent messengers that the plan has changed, that instead of the Goyim killing the Jews, instead of the Amalekim killing the Jews should kill the Amalekim and have a right to save their lives. And they sent the messages, Ha'achashteron b'nei ha'ramachim. What are Ha'achashteron b'nei ha'ramachim? So the Gemara says, we're not sure what it is. The Gemara raises a question. The Mishnah says, Haloisha Shama Shuris Yotza. If a person doesn't speak Hebrew, but he heard the Megillah read in Hebrew, he's Yotze. The Gemara says, but he doesn't understand one word. So the Gemara says, do we understand? We don't understand every word either. We don't know what Achshterad Menei HaRamachim is. We don't know how to translate it. Pisumi Nisa, Shine. Even if you don't understand. So even if you don't understand any Hebrew at all, it's also good. There's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. What's the din shemeka? You know, let's say one person says kiddush, and all the members of the family are listening. So shemeka oina. So everyone's yotze. Shemeka oina means you hear. Or shemeka oina means you understand. Ani shemeya means I understand. So what if a person is saying kiddush and some of the people listening don't understand one word of Hebrew, but they know what kiddush contains? We're speaking about the fact that Shabbos is a holy day, special day, unique. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvah Shabbos. But he doesn't know Hebrew. Is that called Shemaya? So that's the machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says it is Shemaya. And Tosfos holds not. So this Tosfos interprets in this Gemara. Loisha Shamashi doesn't understand Hebrew, so I was Yotza. There is no Shemaya Kaina. Gemara says, no, this is an exception to the rule. Since there's Pesumi Nisa, even though it's not, it doesn't really work with Shemaya Kaina, because he lo Shemaya. He hears, but he doesn't understand. That's not called Shemaya. It's an exception to the rule that is good, but by every other bracha, not. So that's why there used to be a practice by the Mishnah Brura, published his Sefer over 100 years ago. It took, they weren't, all the six volumes were not published in 1 year. It took a long time. It was a whole family project. Each member of the family took a different section. They put everything all together. So when the Mishnah Brura came out, so he recommends that the women didn't know Hebrew. Today the women are more learned. The women do understand Hebrew. So he says when the husband says Kiddush, the wife knows he's speaking about the significance of Shabbos and it's a mitzvah and a Torah, they're Ron Shalom, but she doesn't understand the words. So the Mishnah Brura recommends the Baruch Piagofen that they do it. Baruch Atah, Baruch is a bracha. Hashem is Hashem. Elokein and Melech HaOlam, that they know. Baruch Piagofen. Wine. Okay, that they know. Baruch Atah Hashem. Okay. By Chula, they don't have to understand. The Chula is not really part of the Kiddush. That's separate. Baruch Atah Hashem. Elokein and Melech HaOlam. Hashem Kiddushan of B'mitzvah Yisob. That they always say. When they go to Mikveh, they say Kiddushan of B'mitzvah Yisob. When they shake a lulav, they say Kiddushan of B'mitzvah Yisob. So they know what that means. Kidshanu is holy, mitzvahs of our mitzvahs, v'ratzavanu, that's already hard. They don't know it. So fighting. Starting from that point on, the women, the Mishnah Berurah recommends, the women should stay softly along with the husband. Those women that don't understand Hebrew, so there's no Shemeh Kaina. So the first half of the bracha, Bar Piragofen, that they was Shemeh, that they understood. The bracha atah, elkeinu malach ha'olam, shekidshanu b'mitzvahs of, that they understood. Then v'ratzavanu, that's the hard word. Hin chilano, hin chaltano, those are hard words. The husband may not know what the words mean. Hin chilano, hin chaltano. But he's saying it, even if he doesn't understand. He doesn't have to understand. He's saying it. But if the wife doesn't understand, then there's no shemeh kaina. So the wife should say along softly with the husband till the end. And then when she gets to the end, that has baruch atah Hashem b'kadesh, ha-shabbos b'kadesh is kodesh and shabbos and shabbos. That they do understand. So yoytze, half the bracha they said themselves. In the beginning and the end of the bracha, they were yotze with Shemaya Kaina, because that they did understand. Yeah, and the exception to the rule is Mikra Megillah. That's how Tosfos read the Gemara. The Mikra Megillah, because there's an inyan of Pesumi Nisa, so we allow all the people to be yotze, even though it's not really Shemaya Kaina. A big chiddush. Ha'achash dar penim is another long word over here. Ha'achash dar penim has 11 letters. There's a Rambam. Rambam writes about writing a Sefer Torah. If you have a word, you have to have columns in a Sefer Torah. So what if you have a word that has 11 letters, and you have five of the first five letters of the word are within the column, and the rav of the word is out of the column. Six letters of the word are out of the column. So the Rambam says that's a problem, Hilchos Sefer Torah. If you have six letters of the word in the column and five letters out, that's okay. But if you have five letters in and six letters out, the rav is out, that's a problem. So they say that the Bach was giving a shiur, and the Taz was a student, and he said they were learning the Rambam, they said, where is there a word in the Chumash that has 11 letters? There is no word in the Chumash. So they say that the Bach's daughter knew Tanakh very well. So she knew Chumash very well, she knew Tanakh. So the father called her into the room and he asked her in front of all the students, where is that word in Chumash that has 11 letters? So she said, it has to be in Chumash. What if it's a Megillah Esther? So he said, also good. Megillah Esther also has to be written. So he said, Ha'achash dar penim has 11 letters. So the father was very taken. His daughter knows Tanakh. So he said, in Yiddish there's an expression, his daughter shame with the levana. She's good looking like the moon. So it used to be a Yiddish, Shevidi Levana Lichtig Vidish Teren. That's describing how good looking a girl is. So they say that Taz said, no, it's already tight to be Makadish to Levana. he wants to marry the daughter. So he married the daughter of the Bach. That's how the story began, because they were learning this Rama with the 11, a word with 11 letters. And the father asked the daughter, where is their word? Nechumash said, Nechumash, she doesn't know, but in Esther, Ha'achashdar Penim is 11 letters. It says here, over here, Vatichta Vester. Tichta Vester, Poshab Shat means that she wrote letters to all the Jewish communities that they should observe the Yontif of Purim. Vatichta Vester. So some Achronim write, they look in Hilchas Megillah, some Achronim write that even though if a woman writes a Sefer Torah, it's possible. That's the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Mem Hei and Beis, because in Chumash Dvar Midashim Smuchim, one passing next to the other. So the last two psukim say, in the first parsha of Shema, Kshat Melos Hayadecha, Achzavt Mamzuz Beisech Misharecha. Only one is a Bar Kshira can write. Even though women are Mechuyiv and Mezuzah, but they're not kosher to write the Mamzuz. You have to get a man to write the Mezuzah. So even in Machlokes, they have to get a man to nail up the Mezuzah. Some Achronim hold the woman can nail a Mezuzah on the door. You have to get a man. Most Achronim hold that that's not so. It just goes on the writing of the Mezuzah. So some Achronim say there in Shulchan Aruch that Vatichta Vesta, Esther wrote the Megillah. Doesn't really say that in the Pasuk. Vatichta Vesta means that she sent letters to all the Jewish communities to observe the Yontav, to be Mechazik the Yontav. But that's a shayla. Is a woman puzzled even for writing Megillah Esther? Maybe it only applies to the Chumash, maybe it doesn't apply to Megillah Esther. When you learn Magen Avraham and Arachayim, he often quotes the Levush Martcha, Bar Martcha Yafe. He was in the early 1600s. And when you learn the Shach and Yeridei, so the Shach and Yeridei, every page, he quotes the Levush Atere Zohov. Then the Shach and Chesh Mishpat, every single page quotes the Levush Hir Shushan. His name is Rav Mordechai Yaffe, and the pasuk describes Mordechai Yotze Melechnei HaMelech. Mordechai was appointed a high position. Here, pasuk Tezvav, chapter Ches, pasuk Tezvav. Mordechai Yotze Melechnei HaMelech Melevush Malchus Tchelas Vachu Baterezov Gedolah V'Tav Chaputz V'Agon Yushishan Tzohol V'Samechon. So he has every chelik of the Levush and the different volumes of Shulchan Aruch has a different name. So he has the Levush Yushushan is on Chesh Mishpat, and the Levush HaTerezov is on Yerideya. The others are also, they're all names of this one. He named all the Besorim after this Pasuk. Then you have Daseres Ben Yehoman. Aseres Ben Yehoman is not supposed to be written like prose, supposed to be written in two columns. The second column says V'yes, 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 and the first column has a name, all of the Aseres Ben Yehoman. So in the most Megillus, what you have is a whole column. A column has 20 lines, more than 20 lines. And then you get to the Aseres Ben Yehoman, so they make that as a separate column. And they make the letters much bigger than in any other column, because you want to use up, you want to only have 11 lines. Aseres Mahem says Chamesh Meos Ish, the ace, and then every other line says V'ace. So it's going to be Chamesh Meos, then it's going to have the 10 names of the Aseres Ben Yehoman. So it's only going to have 11 lines, and it should have had 20 lines. So every letter is going to be twice as big as it should have been. So the Chayyadim has a whole footnote, he has a whole complaint that it's not right. There is no tradition that these letters are supposed to be bigger than the other letters in the Megillah. And if you're not going to make them bigger, then you're going to have big empty spaces in between the first line, second line, third line, fourth line. You're going to have empty spaces. When you put an empty space, that's considered like a psucha. And if you put a psucha where it doesn't belong, it makes the whole Chumash puzzle. Makes a whole Sefer Torah puzzle and a Megillah Esther puzzle. It doesn't puzzle, we were talking about the other week, it doesn't puzzle Koheles. In the days of the Vilna Goyen was Ma'ore, the public, that they should learn Haftaras from Aklaf, and they should learn all the Megillahs from Aklaf. So they started writing Koheles on a klav. So there never was a tradition that those psukim that say Eis ledabev, Eis lachshos, Eis livnos, Eis laharos, Eis laharog, Eis lentoev, Eis lakanatu, all the itim, all the things that say Eis. So for many years, that's the way it's printed. When they print the Tanakh, so they always print it in two columns. But we don't have it in the Masorah anywhere. That it's supposed to be that part of Koheles. It's supposed to be written in two columns. So when the Vilna Gaon encouraged everyone to write all the Megillahs on a klav instead of reading from a printed, so when they wrote Koheles, so they wrote in two columns the way it's printed in the Tanakh. So he said, you don't gain anything by learning from the klav because it's puzzled. Because if you write in two columns, you have a psucha in between. A psucha where it doesn't belong. A stuma where it doesn't belong. The whole thing is possible. So one of the... So this was a big tumult. So one of the early Talmidim in Valojan Yeshiva... Valojan Yeshiva was founded in the early 1800s. 1802 or something like that. And the Vilna Gaon died at the end of the 1700s. So that's when the Vilna Gaon, during his lifetime, was Ma'orer, the people, they should lay in all the Megillahs from the klav. So at that time, they were tumbling about this. So one of the Talmidim was Rabbi Yosel Slutsker. His name, his family name was Rabbi Yosef Paimer. He was the rabbi. He was born in Slutsk, and he was a wild Indian. And then somehow he became serious, and they sent him to learn about Lashon, and he straightened out. Became a very big Talmid Chacham, and they appointed him as the rabbi in the city of Slutsk, known as Yosel Slutsk. So he wrote a tshuva that it's kosher, because the Gemara said the Pharisee said, this psul, if you put a psucha where it doesn't belong, only applies to the Sefer Torah in Megillah Esther. Doesn't apply to other Svarim in Tanakh. So it's not a problem in Koheles. More recently, they found that the Tanakh that they had, the Keter, the Tanakh that they had in Aleppo, had it written like that in the Tanakh. So apparently they had a tradition that's the way it's supposed to be. Not just that the print is printed in Koheles, Eis ledabev Eis lachshos in two columns. That's how they have it in the Keter Tanakh. Maybe that's supposed to be the way it's. But even if it's not supposed to be like that, it doesn't puzzle. Because it only puzzles in the Sefer Torah in the Megillah Sesta. So here, that's what the Chayyodim raises the issue. Megillah Sesta, if you have an empty line, you're going to skip every other line, you're going to skip. So you're going to have a psucha where it didn't belong, so it's going to puzzle the whole thing. That's an issue. So the Vilna Gaon has a totally different sheet. He says that the 11 lines don't have to take up the whole column. You can have the top of the column could be 10 lines, and then you can start at Tzeres Menachem in the middle of the column. But others say, no, it has to be Chamesh Yisraelof, Chamesh Meos Ish has to be Barosh HaOmad, the top of the column, not the top of the part of the column that has Tzeres Menachem. So that's why if you have the Mehudah Dika Megillah, is if you have every column only has 11 lines. So the Aseres Bnei Haman fills up the whole column, and then all the other columns will be half the size as in a normal Megillah. All the columns have more than 20 lines in them, but this considered a Mehudah Dika Megillah. That's what the Chayyodim recommends. It'll be l'chol adeis if you only have 11 lines, the Chamesh Miyosish and Aseres Bnei Haman, and that's all. A quote from the Ragachover that he defended the practice that they write it in bigger letters. Based on the Tosfos in Brachos, the Gemara says in Brachos, every Brach has to begin Baruch Atah Hashem, with Shem or Malchus, with the Baruch Atah. So Tosfos raises a question that in the Brachos of the Haftorah, how do you say? I forgot, do we have a Siddur here? There's a Bracha. Is it Chumash? Yeah. So the Chumash will have the brachas. Yeah. Oh, I have a Chumash. Yeah. I think they'll have the brachas. Maybe not. Yeah, they should have the brachas in the beginning. The bracha after the Haftorah. They said, "So called Halaman Tzadik B'chol Ador Kela Daman Hu Amir B'Yosem Tabir B'Kaliyam Shikol Devar Rav Mesvat Tzedek." So Tosfos says, people make a mistake. They say Amen. They say Tosfos said that's not the end of the bracha. It continues. Naman Atasham Lokhem Naman Derach. You shouldn't say Amen there. You're not allowed to say Amen in the middle of the bracha. Say Amen when you get to the end of the bracha. So then Tosfos raises the question: how come Naman Atasham Lokhem? How come it's a big letters? If it's not the beginning of a new bracha. So Tosfos says they put it in big letters to indicate that the tzibur should say along with the Baal Maftir. And they quote Masechus Sofrim like that, that it says in Masechus Sofrim, when the one who read the Haftorah says the bracha after, when he gets to Naman, everyone should say along with him. Naman Hashem Okeinu, Naman Derecha, Derech Medrecha Ochor Lo Yoshev Reikam. And then the Baal Maftir only says Kikel Melech Naman Rachmanata, he ends off. But everybody says with him the first line, Neman Hashem Alkein. So the reason why they put Neman in big letters is to indicate that everybody should say along. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes that there is such a minig, and he thinks that it's a minig shtus, that everybody says that Aseres Bnei Haman, in addition to the four psukim of Geula that we have when you read the Megillah. One of the last pasuk, Kemot Chayei HaYehudi, everybody says along. And the four psukim that we say along with the Balkari. So in addition to that, they had a minig in Hungary, apparently, in some parts of Hungary, that they would say along all our Aseres Bnei Haman. So he makes fun of it. He said it's a minig shtus. So the Rogatchover defended the minig. He explained, if we're not reading, the Gemara says he's supposed to read our Aseres Bnei Haman b'neshima achas, in one breath. Quite a job. So Shemer Kaina only transfers to the listeners that we yoytze the Mikra Megillah, but he suggested we're not yoytze b'neshima achas. There's no din on that we yoytze b'neshima. So everybody had the minik to say along with the Balkare, Aseres Bnei Haman, and everybody said b'neshima achas, because that doesn't carry over. Shemer Kaina doesn't carry over the b'neshima achas. So because everybody said it along with the Balkare, that's why they put it in big letters. Because Tosfos said, why is Neman in big letters? To indicate everybody should chime in and say it along with the Baal Maftir. So that's why they put them big letters. No. The Rogatchover was a genius. At the end of the Megillah, it says that the Jews accepted upon themselves to observe the Yontif of Purim, every generation. And then it says something about Dibri Hatzoymes v'za'akosom. So the Ibn Ezra in that pasuk has two suggestions. What do the words mean? Does it mean that just like the Jews accepted upon themselves to fast Shivasa B'Tamisom, Gedalia Sor B'Tavis and Tisha B'Av, Dibri Kabbalah, so too they accepted upon themselves to read the Megillah and Purim, just like Dibri Hatzoymes v'za'akosom? It doesn't mean they accepted upon themselves Purim just like they accepted to fast the 3 days when they fasted a year before on Pesach. Which Dibrat Tzomis V'Zakosam are we talking about? So there's a question, the different Girsas and the Rambam and Hilchas Tainus, when the Rambam talks about the different Tanesim, it's a slight Shina Girsa. You should check in the new editions of the Rambam whether Tainus Esther existed already in the days of the Baisheni or was introduced way later in the days of the Rishonim. It's a historical question. When did Tainus Esther begin? Some of Farshim learned that Dibri Hatzomus V'Zakosom refers to Tainus Esther, that they accepted upon themselves to fast Tainus Esther. That's a question historically. Is that correct? Did it already exist so early? In the very last pasuk in the Megillah, it says, "Mordechai HaYehudi was Ratzel L'Roi Vechov." Why Ratzel L'Roi Vechov? Most of the Jews liked him. Why only most of the Jews? And Miut of the Jews didn't care for him. So the Gemara Megillah has a comment that when he went into politics after Haman was killed, and then Achashverosh wanted him to go into politics. So he did, and he wasn't learning like he was. He used to be a member of the Sanhedrin. So Pirshim Imenu, some of the members of the Sanhedrin stopped talking to him because they felt he made the wrong decision. He shouldn't have gone into politics. That Talmud Torah is more important than Pikuach Nefoshes. Someone had to go into the politics because there's got to be Pikuach Nefoshes. He should have let someone else do it. He shouldn't have done it. So some of the members of the Sanhedrin were upset about him, why he left learning. It's an interesting comment. There's a Tosfos in the beginning of Megillah, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, the Dibra Maschil is Psak. It's not a line in the Gemara. This Tosfos is a Psak Halacha. So they tell you, how do you daven on Leil Purim, you say, V'al HaNisim and Shmon Esrei. Not like those going, and we think you only say Al HaNisim the first night of Purim, after you daven Ma'ariv, after Mikra Megillah. But if you daven Ma'ariv before Mikra Megillah, like you normally do, then you don't say Al HaNisim yet. So Tosfos says not so. You do say Al HaNisim. Then Tosfos has a comment about saying Kishem. So Rav Baruch Epstein, the author of the Torah Tmima, wrote also an autobiography. So in his autobiography, he has a lot of very interesting things. He has a chapter about mistakes in translation, about klisheni, about different people translate, different scholars translated Gemaras into German, the way they made mistakes in translation. So he said that someone misunderstood what Tosfos was talking about, and they thought that there was a practice to pronounce the Shem HaMefarish when you say Al HaNisim. And that's what Tosfos is talking about, where they say Shem, or you don't say Shem HaShem. They said, that's not what it means. It means, like the Ramos says, if one forgot Al HaNisim in benching on Chanukah, it should say, Arachmani Asim Al HaNisim in the first Kishem Shasiz Al HaVaseinu. They made it into a bakosha for the future. Kishem shal, just like you made nisim for our ancestors, you should make nisim for us. So Tosfos is not happy with that nusach and Shmona Esrei, because he say ala nisim in moedim, in the middle of moedim, that's gimel achrenes. And gimel achrenes, you're not supposed to ask bakoshas for the future. That's what Tosfos taines. But it has nothing to do with the pronouncing Hashem Amfarash. Kishem shasiz alav zen kach tasan lanu. Doesn't have anything to do with the Shem HaMefarash. The Mishnah Megillah says that the Megillah Bayom lachatchilu should be after Hanetzach Hamei, after sunrise. Sunrise today is about 6:20 or so. Keeps on getting earlier and earlier every day, another minute or two earlier. It's going to get much earlier. So the Mishnah says, L'chatchil, you shouldn't read the Megillah before sunrise. But yeah, but if you read the Megillah after Alos HaShachar, you would be Yotze. Alos HaShachar is a little more than an hour before sunrise. So the Aderis was the first father-in-law of Rav Kook. Rav Kook's first wife passed away, so he had to remarry. So he married his wife's cousin. His father-in-law was still alive, and the father-in-law recommended he should marry his niece, the first wife's cousin. So the Aderus was a big paisik, had a lot of original chidushim. So this is one of his original. He moved to Eretz Yisrael in something like 1902. They appointed him as the assistant rabbi of the Eda Haredes for the Ashkenazim. His father were always in Eretz Yisrael. 1500, they were there all along. The Ashkenazim just started coming in the 1800s. There weren't too many Ashkenazim. So he was there. They quote a lot of his original Hebrew. He came up with the Chiddush. He thought that this din, L'chatchil, you shouldn't read the Megillah before Hanetzach Hamei. Rashi learns it's only by the Rabbanan, because he may make a mistake. He may read the Megillah before Alois HaShachar, because before Hanetzach Hamei, it's pretty dark outside. Pretty dark outside. So he said that Bizman HaZeh, every other person wears a watch, and every other person doesn't wear a watch. There's a clock on the wall. So everybody knows what time it is. You look in the newspaper, it tells you what time Hanetzach Hamei is, tells you what time Alos HaShachar is. So that gzeira doesn't apply bizman hazeh. That was his chiddush. That Mishnah doesn't apply bizman hazeh. It's mutar lachatchila to read the Megillah before Hanetzach Hamei, as long as after Alos HaShachar. And his contemporaries didn't agree with him. So Tzvi Pesla Frank quotes it, and he disagrees, and the Stechemed quotes him and he disagrees. A long discussion. So that's an issue of davar sheminyan tzorach minyan achal hatiroi. When do you say there's a gzeirah de rabbanon that was made for a certain reason? We live in a generation where the whole reason doesn't apply. So why don't we do we say the din de rabbanon still applies? So they say no, falls apart by itself. So that was a debate about hanei tzachama. Okay, we got to run to davar mincha. There is a clock on the wall.